Good evening. This is Pastor Ed Rice, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, recording our Sunday evening Bible study. And this is going to be aired the week after Valentine's Day on the 21st, but I appreciate again that we could spend another time looking at again Valentine's Day. So we're starting with another Happy Valentine's Day theme here for February. Last week it's so cold that I thought it didn't seem like Valentine's Day, so we'll do it again this week. And so we want to look at part two that we had started from our book and look again at our communications. A lifeline in your marriage is our ability to communicate, and I always need to review this one. And so let's go ahead and review some things in our study. About communicating, husbands with wives, wives with husbands, and just communications in general. Father, praise you again. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again that we could be students of it. Thank you again for love. And thank you for springtime just around the corner. Pray your blessing on the things that we'd look at tonight in our Bible study, that we'd again have a home that just shows forth your glory, and a home that can be a taste of paradise here on this earth. And we'll praise you and thank you for your blessing and touch on weddings, on marriages, on love that we have, even in this time of the year. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. So as we begin this theme again, we looked last week at love is complex. And so we looked at some of those complexities. This week, I want to go ahead and pick up the theme of a focus on communication skills in our marriage. And so I can encourage you, taking full advantage of this Valentine's time or season, to fall in love again, to re-examine your marriage, your communications, particularly in marriage. We're following again this is by no means a bestseller, but it is a workbook that I use and have enjoyed to make your home a taste of paradise here on this earth. And so in the book, we go through God's plan for our marriage, which includes the role of the wife and the role of the husband, and then the role of one flesh. And today we're looking at the theme of the role of one flesh in our communications. And so let's go ahead and start on that theme. There's some things again about our communication as a lifeline in our marriage. I pictured it here as a good working order and a critically impaired. Unfortunately, again, there's many that end up in the critically impaired category. We want to make sure that's prevented in your relationships. And so a good working order lifeline will have a sense of freedom to express yourself, a sense of being understood, an absence of win-lose arguments, a reduction in tension in your home by communications, and then a sense of being safe and secure in the relationship. An impaired, critically impaired lifeline is where one or the other or both repeatedly assumes a negative intent on the part of the partner, and there becomes an increased distance and an increased silence in your home. We hope, again, you avoid that. And so let's look for a moment at the role of one flesh in communication in our home. Before we go down that route, let me go ahead and say that it's going to be tough to have a right relationship with your spouse unless you have a right relationship with your Creator. And again, we went through this last week in our Bible study. I want to do it again, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The verses there portrayed show again that you need to be saved, born again, converted to Christ. You need to have Christ indwelling you and fixing so that you are not living in condemnation. And again, in order to have a right relationship with a spouse, you need a right relationship with your Creator. You both need a right relationship with your Creator, and that's what makes a home a taste of paradise here on earth. So all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. God commends his love towards us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place, a substitutionary death, that is. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, you need to have a formal acceptance where you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, they are given on the screen and given last week, that there is this formal acceptance that God requires us to come to him and ask for the free gift of salvation, which saves us from condemnation. And again, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Take care of that. Make sure you're a born again, saved individual, not a just a professing Christian, but again, a possessing Christian, possessing again the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go through, again, our analysis that we looked at in the study book, there are four essentials given, and we're only looking at one of them today. The first essential, again, is being faithful, faithfulness to each other, till death do us part, as it says in our wedding vows. The second is to be forgiving. Jesus barely finished the Lord's Prayer, and his very next sentence was, right here in Matthew 6, 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so the importance of forgiving others, and a lot of marriages are hung up in that realm of being unable to forgive. And so that's the second essential. The third essential here that we were focusing on today is this communication lifeline in your marriage. The knowledge and understanding of one another, which you need for intimate closeness, is through communication. The interchange of information and ideas you need to work together as a husband and wife team comes through communication. The capability to work out your differences and to resolve your conflicts comes through communications. The continuing in-touch contact you must have to grow together in the same direction and to be there to support each other during the changes and difficult times of life. All of that comes through our communication lifeline. Five characteristics of a communication lifeline that's in good working order. As we said, a freedom to express yourself, a sense of being understood by your spouse and you understanding of your spouse, an absence of win-lose arguments, a reduction of tension, a sense of being safe and secure in the relationship. Every home needs some improvements. And so I enjoy going through this every year about Valentine's. I learn more by teaching it. And my wife helps me again teach some of these things that I need to pay attention to in my own life. And so I'd encourage you again to go through these with us in your life and your marriage. How to build a lifeline system. Step one, you will feel free to express yourself when you both, when both of you accept one another just as you are, not being trying to change the other, correct the other, and make them different, but to accept them the way they are. Acceptance or rejection sends one of the most powerful messages known to humans. How can I communicate with my spouse when they make a value judgment on everything I say? How can I communicate with my spouse when they decide it's not worthy of their attention? How can I communicate well with my spouse when they quit listening or when they say that's not important enough to discuss. First, again, is that we replace a judgmental fault-finding attitude with a positive response and a consistently caring attitude. Be so sensitive to your spouse that it hurts when you see your spouse hurt in this way. You feel understood when you learn to listen with your ears and your heart. We listen at about a 25% efficiency. Poor listening produces misunderstandings in our marriage. And so I said before, and I got another counseling package where we try to encourage people to journal, because you remember about 10% of what you hear, 20% of what you hear and see together. And then again, you're kind of stuck from watching TV. So to get involved again and to write things down and to repeat things, as we'll talk about here, it's important that we learn some listening skills. I got here 8 ways to I didn't make these up, by the way. I pulled these out of other marriage books. That's been very helpful to me over the past 50 years of marriage. 8 ways to develop listening skills. Number 1, half is not enough. You need, again, to use both your ears in listening. No interruptions. And you might think that's people interrupting or the phone interrupting. No, this is you interrupting your spouse. Don't jump to conclusions about what the other is saying. Hear your partner out and then respond. And don't be one that keeps interrupting. And again, that's one that we all need to work on a little bit. And then repeat and repeat. Prove that you have listened by repeating your partner's thoughts and feelings. Repeat them back till all are sure you have understood them correctly. And I like this one. Number 4 here says, respond with your eyes. Real listening involves concentration accompanied by eye contact. So make eye contact. Don't wait for a commercial break. Turn it off. Turn off the radio. Turn off the computer. Turn off the phone. Get away. Cause again that you can have periods and times when you just communicate. And then number 6 here says, silence is a negative feedback. Remember, your silence can be a negative feedback unless you accompany it with a nonverbal signal of approval, such as a smile or squeezing the hand or loving eye contact. And then I think this was Dr. Wheat here, says, with a breakthrough, don't overwhelm. Don't use the idea that, hey, now that we've got that settled, let's go ahead and settle 12 other things that's going on. So never overwhelm your partner by demanding more than they are ready to give. Just show appreciation and thankfulness for what has been shared. And then number 8 is give a love message. Remember that when you listen to your partner, you are showing love. And so those things to help our listening skills. And then 6 ways a discussion goes wrong. Again, it's already been mentioned. Step 3, you will be rid of win-lose arguments in your marriage when you learn what causes them and how to replace them with real communication in resolving disagreements and conflicts. 6 ways a discussion goes wrong. Number 1, a war to be won. Sometimes every little conversation turns into a contest. When the disagreement becomes a power struggle, nobody wins. Number 2, a personal rejection. People often take rejection of their ideas as rejection of themselves. Be careful. And again, rejection is a powerful tool. Bring your varying viewpoints together and discuss them, finding a solution and gaining a deeper appreciation for one another at the same time. And again, notice that that's not going on in our political circles at all. And so again, it needs to go on in our homes, in our husband, wife, husband, and our spouse communications, spousal communications, let's call them. and then a change of weapons. People drag into issues that have been brought up further, and they use those as a weapon. And so, again, be careful of that. Sweeping generalizations, like you always, or you never do this, you always say this. And so be careful of them. People frustrated by their inability to make a point resort to these, characterized by the use of these expressions. And then shouting or Siberia. These are two different tactics that we use. It's inappropriate and childish ways that I wish my, and again, look at the quote here. I wish my husband could discuss a matter without shouting. And I'm guilty of that. I am a shouter. And so again, he seems to think that talking loud and fast is the only way to communicate. Trying to outshout, trying to override the conversation. And then watch for this little phrase, yeah, but, in your conversation. That's an interesting way to look at it. I hadn't thought of that way. That's much better than yeah, but. Think about, again, what you're saying in these regards. So these six ways, again, to keep a discussion on a good track. And then here are eight ways to replace arguments with communication. And so, again, to make sure we don't spend all of our time in arguments. Make it a response, not a reaction. Don't interrupt. Listen carefully before you respond, and keep the discussion squarely on the issue at hand. No side issues. Limit discussion to the present. And so that's helpful. And we're trying to stay away from arguing here. Number two, disagreements, but are not a disapproval. Acknowledge that you understand what your partner is saying, even though you disagree, and then show respect. Number three is the gift of empathy. Make it a point to share your feelings, but not to criticize. Encourage a sharing of feelings and respondent lovingly. Give empathy. Number four, carefully clarify what you are both saying so there is no misunderstanding. Take turns at this. Again, that comes with that repeating what she has said to you, husbands. Number five, truthing in love. Speak the truth in love. Notice it says gently, with your speech and behavior showing genuine honesty and love. Say, I need you. Let that be regularly communicated, that you depend on each other. Real communication means revealing yourself, even at the risk of rejection. When both are willing to do this, you are well on your way to building loving intimacy in your relationship. Number seven, surprise and disarm. Stop being defensive. When the issue is a personal one, agree that there is a wrong side or wrong on your side, since there always is a wrong someplace in there, even if you don't wish to admit it. I was wrong should be something that's not foreign to your mouth. And so being able to admit wrong. And then I like this one, number eight. Apply the BEST. Number one, bless with your words. Number two, edify. That means to build up your partner. Number three, share openly and honestly. And number four, I want to emphasize this, that you touch and hold hands. Later on, we're going to cover how to have a good fight. And one of the rules is to hold hands through the whole fight. So communicate the BEST to your mate, and that'll help in your communication. Step four, you can reduce tension by recognizing and correcting the communication practices that cause frustration by learning to fight the biblical way. a way that deals constructively with anger, with resentment, and with hurt feelings. Recognize the frustrations that are involved. Here's five deadly sins in communication which can blight any relationship. These are also sins against love. And so these five frustrating, deadly sins in communication. Number one is shutting down and not listening anymore. Number two, given the silent treatment that you're just going to stew and have no inputs. Stabbing, using other words against them. Boy, we can do that well. Be careful of that. Be mindful of that. Scolding, putting guilt or blame on the other. And then shallow limits, just having surface talk. And so some frustrating communication practices. Number one, pretending you are communicating when you're merely attacking. Okay. Number two, not knowing how to express your feelings without putting each other down. Until we can get into a rut or a habit or a slump of poor communications and just have an attack after attack. Be careful. Again, you're on critical ground there. Number three, starting your views as though, stating your views as though they were indisputable, absolute truth. Again, that's not generally the case. Number four, not hearing the message from your partner because you're too busy figuring out what you to say next. Let me go ahead and camp right there for just a second and say that's what most of us do. When you're listening to somebody, generally you're trying to form a response that you're going to put together. Some of us are slow-minded. We need the extra time to do that. And so, again, just be mindful that you need to be careful to be a listener and don't zone out so that you can prepare a response of what you're going to say next. Number five is faking attention. We talked about that. Number six, trying to communicate when you each have two different goals for the conversation. You're going in different directions. Number seven, husbands and wives communicate differently. Let me say that again. We communicate differently. Boy, this can lead to all kinds of misunderstandings. God put us together as male and female with two completely different emotional packages and talkable packages because, again, we are meant to be complementary to each other. The wife was built to be the appropriate helper to a male, and God said it's not good for a male to be alone. And so, again, we're different and we're meant to be, we communicate different. Number eight, there's just cultural differences and personality differences that take their toll on our patience, necessary for good communications. Again, that happens in our relationships together. Step five, you will feel safe and secure in your relationship if you get to know one another through good communication and remain closely in touch for a lifetime. Think about this rather melancholy statement by the Duke of Wellington at the end of his life in 1852. He said this, "It is a strange thing that two people can live together for half of a lifetime and only understand one another at the very end." When you're staring down at a casket, don't have that be the time when you reflect on what you should have done. Build a lifeline system for loving communication, and it will help you to become intimate lovers. It'll help you to become best friends. It'll help you to become a team. It'll help you to become two people who understand each other. It'll help you to become a couple who stay in touch during the changes and challenges of a lifetime. And it'll help you, again, to be compassionate partners who can help one another adjust to the difficult times of life and to endure them together. So guarding your lifeline, build your lifeline, and now guarding your lifeline. Security takes a bit of guarding. Be alert to unusual tension in your relationship. Never betray your best friend. Beware of the heat of the moment. Things you say in the heat of the moment don't just go away. So be careful in those heat of the moment expressions. Never look at your mate without compassion. Let me say that again. Never look at your mate without compassion. Remember the power of words. And then again from a couple of them, I think Sundahl had a big section on this, and so does Dr. Wheat. Watch out for the third partner in your marriage, the TV. And so be careful of that thing. It'll get you. He offers 7 rules for having a good fight, and these rules will allow you to carry a normal, natural, disagreeable times without breaking the scripture. And so, again, old Chuck Swindoll put these 7 rules for a good fight. Keep it honest. Be courteous. Be honest. Have mutual respect. Number 2, keep it under control. Make sure your weapons are not deadly. Number 3, keep it timed right. Agree together that the time is right that you sit down and talk. Keep it positive. Be ready with a positive solution right after taking a swing at your partner. Number 5, keep it tactful. Watch your words and guard your tongue. Number 6, keep it private. Don't swing at your mate in public. When you swing in public, your malice is showing. And then number 7, keep it cleaned up. When it's all over, help clean up the mess. Study these rules and use them. And I hope, again, they'll be a blessing to you. Again, Dr. Wheat talks about a TV being a major problem. For 15 years, Dr. Wheat urged newlyweds to begin their marriage without a television set in the house at all. Young people thought sometimes that this was too much. Look at the charge he gives at the bottom here. It says, if TV is necessary in your home, is necessary in your home, a decision of none will be richly rewarding if you will not get rid of the set. Be sure to limit it to a minimal effect. And here's what he says: less than 1 hour per day, with at least 2 days off a week. There's a challenge for you in our society. Never stop studying to improve your communications. And so your pool will become stagnant. And boy, again, I'd encourage you to always be looking for ways you can improve your communications, your relationship. And as we've gone through again, this Valentine's celebration in February, boy, I encourage you to use that to get yourself on the right track with your spouse and in your communications here in this Bible study today. Romans 8:8-9 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any of you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Call on the Lord Jesus Christ first. And your home, again, love is complicated, as we said here. But your home, again, can be a strength in love and significance and security in body and in soul and in spirit. And I want to encourage you that with that Bible study today. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for love and marriage. Thank you that we could look at these things today and pray a special blessing as we would walk through the week. Help us again to look at our spouse through your eyes. Help us again, Father, to follow the example given in your word for love and marriage. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ. Amen. All right, there's my timer right on time. Lord bless you for being here today again. And I recorded these a little bit early so that we can be off on a trip to Texas. And so I encourage you again to have a happy Valentine's Day all month of February. Spring is just around the corner. Let's take full advantage. Let's go ahead and be mindful of these things to improve our marital relationships. The Lord bless you for tuning in today.